I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, a little bit of shameless self-promotion for Site Visibility, because they've just released their 2020 PPC automation guide. So the guide's completely free to download, and it's going to help you to get started with each of the new automation settings in Google Ads. So this includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic search ads, and more. So the best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your free guide from bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. I'll say that again. Bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. Now today I'm joined by Rob Watson, founder at Freewheeling. Rob, how are you?
Very well, Andy, very well.
Thank you for coming on again. I think the last time we spoke, if I'm not mistaken, I love this. I always say, if I'm not mistaken, as if I've got a fantastic memory. What I've really done is I've done a search for Rob Watson on Site Visibility's podcast page. But the last time we spoke, I think it was March 2016. I didn't realise it was that long ago, actually. Doesn't time fly?
Yeah. That was, I didn't think it was that long either, but there you go.
I know, it's amazing. And you were talking about, I think the episode was titled Parlez-vous Anglais. It was all about foreign languages and foreign search and all that sort of stuff. It was pretty juicy. But today, we're going to be talking about something I think is equally as juicy, and that's this sort of, you've done 12 months of testing, and now you're moving all your campaigns over to smart bidding because it's really moved on. But before we talk about that, just remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and Freewheeling.
Yeah, so I've been working in e-commerce since 1999. I started with Google Ads, managing accounts around 2005. And last year I set up Freewheeling, a company to offer Google Ads consultancy to e-commerce businesses.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's start off then, perhaps with a little bit of background on, I suppose, how Google Smart Bidding has improved, because it has improved incredibly over the last few years, and why it keeps getting better. What are the sort of key changes?
Well, yeah, I think the background is important because it helps understand a bit about why this technology is not only good now, but as you say, how it is also going to keep getting better. And there is three parts to this story, if you like. The first thing is about Google and their relationship with the game Go. So that's an old Chinese game that, despite having relatively simple rules, it's very complex.
Yeah.
So computers got good at beating chess masters back in the 90s, but Go was considered too reliant on intuition for a computer to be able to win. And that was till
interject there, because Go isn't Go the it's a very simple looking game, isn't it? With is it little marbles you use or little counters?
Yeah.
And
there's
number of possible combinations you can do is like equal to the number of atoms in the known universe or something.
It's outrageous. It's huge. But so what happened about 3 years ago was that Google built a AI called AlphaGo that challenged the reigning Go champion and beat him 4-1.
Mm.
So big change. What they developed there with that sort of machine learning approach to problem solving. It's the same technology that Google are now using across all of their products, including their smart bidding within Google Ads. So that's the AI side of things. The other bit is the change in how, mainly brought on due to advances with mobile phones, yeah, how as we as people, we are sharing so much more data than we ever have done before. And the AI loves data. So what Google tells us is that smart bidding is considering an astronomical 70 million signals when it's determining the right bid for your ads. If you consider that as a manual bid manager, you might get maybe, I don't know, a dozen different things you can adjust, many more combinations combining that, but you're never going to get anywhere near 70 million. So that's a real edge that the smart bidding has.
Mm.
Third part is about the continuous improvement with computing power. So they have, Google have this TPU processor that today can do a calculation that 20 years ago would have taken the technology a quarter of a million years to complete. So it's just,
that's ludicrous, you know, isn't it?
It is. I really enjoy that fact. It's got just a bit of a mind blowing kind of quality to it. But these are the three things that kind of, not only do they give you an indication of why smart bidding is good right now, it's going to be even better next year as well.
TPU as opposed to CPU, what does the T stand for?
Oh, I don't remember.
I stumped you, haven't I?
I don't remember. It's all to do with machine learning and, yeah, and stuff like that. You know, I know how to use the tools. You know, I know how to drive a car. Don't ask me how it works.
I'm sure our audience can look that up. I'm sorry I asked you that question. So let's move on then. Let's talk about some of the results from your sort of various recent tests from three different clients and things. Let's talk a bit about that.
Yeah. So look, I mean that's the thing that persuades people, right? You can talk about how theoretically great this stuff is, but until you've actually tried it out, you've actually experimented, that's you know, the thing that's going to convince you. So first client, client with a large budget, it's a £8 million a year Google Ads budget. We ran a test using target CPA bidding. So that's one factor of one version of smart bidding. Yeah, so we ran this target CPA on a selection of their campaigns for a 30-day period. When we took those results from that test and we extrapolated it, it allowed us to forecast that if we had smart bidding across the entire account, we would get an annual increase in revenue of just over £400,000 with a decrease in advertising cost of £43,000.
Mm.
Real significant improvement. Second client that I test this on, another decent sized budget, £1 million a year Google Shopping budget. So this campaign experiment that we did, it was like an A-B split test on one of their largest campaigns, ran it for 30 days. It showed a small 3% increase in revenue, but with a 20% decrease in cost. So real, real significant improvement in profitability. And the third client, the third test that I want to share, at the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of budget. So this is a bookstore that only has a £5,000 a year Google Shopping budget. But because they're a bookstore, they get a lot of conversions. And the key point here is that it's not about how much money you're going to spend. It's about how much conversion data you've got. But again, it's Google, the AI needs the data. So these guys, they had a lot of conversions. So they got a real improvement. So we had we ran a smart shopping campaign. So again, this is another version of your options with using smart bidding in Google Ads. So smart shopping campaign.
Yeah.
We ran it for 6 months. We still run it now, but after 6 months, we could see that we got a year-on-year increase in revenue of a massive 280% for only an 80% increase in cost. So the thing's just scaled wonderfully using this AI.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Just going back to that second example, it was the Google shopping example. Yeah. And there was, so it was over 30 days, there was a 3% increase in revenue. So a modest lift in revenue, mm-hmm. but quite a big, very significant 20% decrease in cost. Can we just drill down into that a wee bit? I'm just interested, how were those savings made?
So this, the model that we used there was the target ROAS bidding. So it was an existing campaign that we had that was all based around manual bids, manual setup. But essentially, what you do is you tell the AI what success looks like to you. What's a good return on your advertising spend? Mm-hmm. Set that as your target. Now, what actually Google will do when you go to create this, make this change from manual bidding to smart bidding, is they make a recommendation, a recommended target for you to use. Now, they don't know whether that means you're profitable or not, but they do know what the campaign is currently performing like. So typically for these tests, that's the number we go with. So just by making this switch to say, okay, well, Google, you know this campaign, you've been running this for however many months, we'll use your recommendation. So literally just switching it on, that was all we had to do to get that improvement.
So let's get to the juicy bit, shall we? Your three-step smart bidding success mechanism. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the point of me doing this work, having this whole process and experimenting with it over this time, I've got to look at a number of different factors to figure out what works well, and it's kind of helped me define this change program, if you like. And I've broken it into three main steps. So the first step is the preparation stage, and there's a number of things that you would do here. I'm just going to pick a couple of key ones here. The first thing you need to be doing is you need to be using a non-last click attribution model. So this is how your conversion tracking is assigning the value for the conversions. So, I mean, Google's been mentioning this for a long time. Last click was always the old way of doing things. But the AI, what it will do is if it sees that there's value that's happening to coming from other parts of your account, they're not just the ones that convert people, like maybe your brand keywords, you'll get a lot on last click, it's going to do a much better job of evaluating all of your keywords, all of your ads. So that's really important.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the structure that you have of your campaign. So typically what Google recommend is that for smart bidding to be effective, the campaign itself needs to have it varies a little bit, but generally a minimum of 15 conversions during a month, during a 30-day period. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got an account, as perhaps was a little bit more traditional, a lot of people would set up their accounts to have many, many campaigns targeting lots of different things. That may not be the best structure for you if you want to get the best out of smart bidding, because chances are you're going to get a lot of campaigns that won't meet that minimum requirement. So that's one of the things that I've been doing a lot over this period. I've been restructuring accounts a lot to consolidate campaigns.
Yeah.
The other bit is to what the AI is going to need to work effectively is conversion data. So it is critical that you're sure that your conversion tags are set up properly. I mean, that is almost like that sits at the top. That's the number one thing. If you ran your conversion tags for a while, maybe you're using Google Ads, but you're importing your conversions using the analytics tag rather than Google's own tag, that sort of thing. Now's the time to try and get all of that stuff in order. You want to be using the Google Ads tag. You want to make sure it's working properly. You want to make sure that revenue figure that you've got coming in is accurate. You're not missing some values. So it's a little bit of work, a little bit of preparation work there, but crucially important. And also, sorry, as part of that, the audience tags as well, because audiences and Google understanding whether people have been to the site before, whether they abandoned the cart, all of that sort of information that you can feed into the AI is what's going to give you the best results. Because no matter how good the AI might be, like, it can consider all manner of crazy things, like the person that you're advertising has their phone on them and they know what shops they've been into, they know what things they're thinking about doing, all of that stuff they have access to. But what's really going to help them is knowing that, yes, and they also spent this much time on your website, or they also 3 months ago they bought something with a really high value, that kind of stuff. So yes, make sure you're feeding it the right information through your tag setup.
So that's step one, which is basically the preparation. Now, step two, is that mainly focused on testing? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. So the examples I gave you of these three tests with three other clients of mine, they were tests. They were ran I wanted to know that smart bidding was right thing for this account, for this client, for this marketplace. So yeah, you do want to have a test. You've done your preparation. You want to allow yourself a period to test to find out whether it's going to give you the improvement you want or not. But I think the critical thing for a test, and I think this is possibly where people fall a little short with their test, is that it's really important that you need to have a clear objective before you start your test of exactly what it is that you want to get from it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that what Google tell us when they're promoting smart bidding is there are three things that it can do. It can give you growth. It can give you more revenue, more conversions. It can improve your profitability, either by a better ROAS or a better cost per acquisition. And it can save you time. So which of those three things matter to you? What's the most important? And measure against that. So, I mean, it might seem dumb because it might think, well, obviously, I just want to get more revenue. I want to grow this. But maybe that's not true. Maybe you're actually doing a wonderful job. You've got a really well optimized account. And you think, well, why would I bother risking all that to move to smart bidding? But every week, you're spending 4 or 5 hours manually adjusting bids. So maybe the objective here is to save that time so you can go and invest it in doing something that's more creative or whatever. So yeah, just be really clear on what the objective is before you start your test.
So have the what's that amazing saying that I forget the name of the author now, but there's an author. it's going to sound terrible. There's an author that did a really good book about success, and he talked about seeing the objective as being the first thing that you do. Set off with the objective in mind. I think that was his phraseology.
Start with the end in mind?
That's the one. Start with the end in mind.
I think I've got that book here.
Yes. Is it Stephen Covey?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is Stephen Covey. Yes.
Oh, no, begin with the end in mind.
Begin with the end in mind. That's it. Yeah, we got there at the end between us.
There's people in their car shouting at us now.
They probably are, yeah. And on their ride on lawnmowers, mowing their lawns. Right, step three then is kind of ongoing tweaking and maintenance, isn't it?
Yeah. So at this point, you've done your preparation, you've ran your test. At this point, you realize how Google Smart Bidding is utterly amazing, and you love it to bits. So the question then is, what are you going to do now? So despite what Google might have you believe, smart campaigns are not a set it and forget it solution.
Mm.
Now, this should come as good news to anybody who felt their PPC role might come under threat due to smart campaigns. I'm actually going to call out, so there's a book that I've just finished reading, a guy called Frederick Vallée, who's a real PPC expert, and his book, he talks a lot. It's mainly written for people that run agencies and do PPC as a job, but he talks a lot about the sort of shift in the way that people work and what their roles are going to be as they incorporate their work with the AI. And he gives some great examples, but there's one that I really like where he talks about an airline pilot.
Mm.
And the idea there is that the airline pilot may only be flying the plane for about 90 minutes during a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
But as a passenger on that plane, you would not want him to just go and have a nap while the autopilot was running. And that's the way that you've got to view your PPC accounts. You know, the smart bidding is going to do a great job for you, but you're going to be spending as much time as you do now checking your metrics. You might not spend anywhere near as much time adjusting bids. In fact, you spend very little time on that, but you're definitely going to want to be keeping an eye on it. And I suppose where this kind of came home to me was over this last 3 months. So this last pre-Christmas Black Friday period is the first time that I've gone through that with all of my accounts using smart bidding.
Mm.
And it was there was a lot more work involved than I might have expected there to be. Lots of adjustments. It required lots of input to get through that period of massive peaks for Black Friday and the December sales. You know, Christmas, when we turn our accounts right the way down so we don't waste money, and then get them going again from Boxing Day. All of that, despite the fact that yeah, these are known days and the AI would know about this, still had to do a lot of manual intervention. So yeah, there's still stuff that you're going to need to do there. But the PPC manager role has definitely changed with smart bidding. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, this is a very exciting opportunity that allows PPC managers to be to put a lot more time into speaking with their clients, a lot more time with creativity and a lot more time for creating value through experimenting with new techniques.
So we've covered a lot of ground there with your three steps of preparation, the testing and the ongoing sort of techniques. If you could condense it down, I mean, what do you think our audience should be thinking about as they leave this podcast?
Well, I hope anybody that's on the fence is keen to try it. You know, would want to give it a go, would want to experiment with this just as a test. And but the main thing I really want to make clear is that if you do feel that way and you want to try this, it all hinges around the data that you're feeding the AI. So making sure that your conversion tracking is okay. Can it ever be 100%? Probably not.
Mm.
But you know, as good as you can possibly make it, it's definitely worth reviewing that setup, any improvements you could do. So conversion tracking. Make sure you give that some real thought, and not just is it set up right, is the tag in the right place, but is it aligned with my goals? I mean, you know, it's not always about tracking somebody purchasing something. Maybe, like I work with a client where, in fact, what's more important to them, even though they're a retailer, it's more important to them is that they get phone calls. So we'll be tracking that. That's the goal that we're going to optimize to using smart bidding. So, you know, what's important to your business? And it's a good time to rethink that, I think.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your findings. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about freewheeling traffic?
If anyone's got to the end of this podcast and they feel like they're interested in what I've just talked about, there's an expanded version of this that I've got on YouTube. It's the talk that I did at Brighton last September. So you got my slides and the audio to follow along, a bit more meat on the bones, if you like. So I think you're going to be putting the link in the show notes, Andy.
We will put the link in the show notes, definitely.
And then, yeah, aside from that, you got any questions, just email me at rob@freewheelingtraffic.com.
Thanks a lot, Rob. And thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes will be in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a fab review. That would be great. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. Remember, we have a site visibility group on LinkedIn as well. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Rob.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Rob. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.